वासुदेवाय कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 24 टेक्स्ट नंबर 19 So this is prose form, so we'll read translation. My dear King, Bali Maharaj donated all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamandev. But one should certainly not conclude that he achieved his great worldly opulence in Bilswarga as a result of his charitable disposition. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of life for all living entities, lives within everyone as the friendly super soul, and under his direction a living entity enjoys or suffers in the material world. Greatly appreciating the transcendental qualities of the Lord, Bali Maharaj offered everything at his lotus feet. His purpose, however, was not to gain anything material but to become a pure devotee. For a pure devotee, the door of liberation is automatically opened. One should not think that Bali Maharaj was given so much material opulence merely because of his charity. When one becomes a pure devotee in love, he may also be blessed with a good material position by the will of the Supreme Lord. However, one should not mistakenly think that the material opulence of a devotee is the result of his devotional service. The real result of devotional service is the awakening of pure love for Supreme Personality of Godhead, which continues under all circumstances. Text 20. There is no purport to this. So text 20. If one who is embarrassed by hunger or who falls down or stumbles chant the holy names of the Lord even once, willingly or unwillingly, he is immediately freed from the reactions of his past deeds. Karmis entangled in the material activities face many difficulties in the practice of mystic yoga, and others endeavors to achieve that same freedom. Purport. It is not a fact that one has to offer his material possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be liberated before he can engage in devotional service. A devotee automatically attains liberation without separate endeavors. Bali Maharaj did not get back all his material possessions merely because of his charity to the Lord. One who becomes a devotee free from material desires and motives regards all opportunities, both material and spiritual, as benedictions from the Lord. And in this way, his service to the Lord is never hampered. Bhukti, material enjoyment, and mukti, liberation, are only byproducts of devotional service. A devotee need not work separately to attain mukti. Srila Bilwa Mangal Thakur said, Mukti Swayam Mukulitanjali Sevatesman. A pure devotee of the Lord does not have to endure separately for mukti, because mukti is always ready to serve him. In this regard, Chaitanya Charitamrut describes Haridas Thakur's confirmation of the effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Keha bale nam haite haya papakshay, keha bale nam haite jivere moksha hai. Some say that by chanting the holy names of the Lord, one is freed from all the reactions of sinful life. And others say that by chanting the holy names of the Lord, one attains liberation from material bondage. Haridas kahena namera ei dui phala nay, namera phala krishna pada prema upajay. Haridas Thakur, however, said that the desired result of the chanting of the holy name of Lord is not that one is liberated from material bondage or freed from the reactions of sinful life. The actual result of chanting the holy name of Lord is that one awakens his dormant Krishna consciousness, his loving service to the Lord. Anusangika phala namera mukti papanash તહાર દૃષ્ટાંત એ છે સૂર્યર પ્રકાશ. હરિદાસ ઠાકુર સેડ દેટ લિબરેશન એન્ડ ફ્રીડમ ફ્રોમ ધ રિએક્શન્સ ઓફ સિન્ફુલ એક્ટિવિટીઝ આર ઓનલી બાય પ્રોડક્ટ્સ ઓફ ચાન્ટિંગ ધ હોલી નેમ્સ ઓફ ધ લોર્ડ. ઇફ વન ચાન્ટ્સ ધ હોલી નેમ ઓફ ધ લોર્ડ પ્યોરલી, હી અટેન્સ ધ પ્લેટફોર્મ ઓફ લવિંગ સર્વિસ ટુ ધ સુપ્રીમ પર્સનાલિટી ઓફ ગોડ. એન્ડ ઇન ધીસ રિગાર્ડ હરિદાસ ઠાકુર ગેવ એન એક્ઝામ્પલ કમ્પેરિંગ ધ પાવર ઓફ હોલી નેમ ટુ સનશાઇન. એ શ્લોકેર અર્થ કર પંડિત રઘુન, સબ કહે તુમી કહ અર્થ વિવરણ. હી પ્લેસ્ડ અ વર્સ બિફોર ઓલ ધ લર્નેડ સ્કોલર પ્રેઝન્ટ, બટ ધ લર્નેડ સ્કોલર્સ આસ્ક્ડ હિમ ટુ સ્ટેટ ધ પરપોર્ટ ઓફ ધ વર્સ. હરિદાસ કહે ન યે છે સૂર્ય ર ઉદય, ઉદય ન હૈ તે આરંભે તામેર હય ક્ષય. હરિદાસ ઠાકુર સેડ દેટ એઝ ધ સન બિગિન્સ ટુ રાઇઝ ઇટ ડિસિપેટ્સ ધ ડાર્કનેસ ઓફ નાઇટ ઇવન બિફોર ધ સનશાઇન ઇઝ વિઝિબલ. ચૌર પ્રેત રાક્ષસાદિર ભય હય નાશ, ઉદય હૈલ ધર્મ કર્મ આદિ પ્રકાશ. બિફોર ધ સનશાઇન સનરાઇઝ ઇવન ટેક્સ પ્લેસ, ધ લાઇટ ઓફ ડોન ડિસ્ટ્રોઇઝ ધ ફિયર ઓફ ધ ડેન્જર્સ ઓફ ધ નાઇટ, સચ એઝ ડિસ્ટર્બન્સીસ બાય થ્યુઝ ghosts and rakshasas. And when the sunshine actually appears, one engages in his duties. Aiche nama daya rambhe papa adi rakshaye, uday kaila krishna pade haye premoday. Similarly, even before one's chanting of the holy name is pure, one is freed from all sinful reactions. And when he chants purely, he becomes a lover of Krishna. Mukti tuchcha phala haya namabhas haite, ye mukti bhakta na laye, se Krishna chahe dite. A devotee never accepts mukti even if Krishna offers it. Mukti, freedom from all sinful reaction, is obtained even by namabhas, or a glimpse of the light of the holy name before its full light is perfectly visible. The namabhas stage is between that of nam aparad, or chanting of the holy name with offenses, and pure chanting. There are three stages in chanting the holy name of Lord. In the first stage, one commit 10 kinds of offenses while chanting. In the next stage, namabhas, the offenses are almost stopped, and one is coming to the platform of pure chanting. In the third stage, when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses, his dormant love for Krishna immediately awakens. This is perfection. Om Hare Krishna. So, this chapter's name is The Subterranean Heavenly Planets. So, here we see as the description of subterranean heavenly planets is going on. In fact, the description of universe is going on, where how different planetary systems are there. So they are describing subterranean heavenly planets. So while describing subterranean planets, the name of Sutala Loka comes. And immediately it is explained that who resides there is Bali Maharaj. And that planet is more opulent than that of heavenly planet. And Lord Krishna, being pleased with Bali Maharaj, gave him more opulent place than that of heavenly king Indra. And it is called Bila Swarga. Bil means hole and Swarga. So just like we see many underworld people, they have Dagdi Chawl or some kind of place. It's like kind of hole you enter inside, but inside there is AC and latest electronic gadgets and everything is there. It's more sophisticated than what a police people may have. So many sophisticated weapons. Inside it's just a 5-star hotel itself. In in the border between Mexico and America, they found out some tunnels. And all the drug trafficking people, they would carry drugs through that tunnel. And inside, what was there? Many underground five-star restaurants were there. They could rest there and everything. So something like that. So all demons, their swarga is like Bil swarga. It's called Bil swarga. They hide from others and enjoy life there. So this description is given. So immediately it is explained that Bali Maharaj did not get all these because offering everything to Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu may give material opulence, may not give material opulence, but real fruit of devotional service is prema, Krishna prema, nothing else. So that is the real fruit of devotional service. And it is explained that one who takes shelter of holy names of Lord, what happens to him? Bhukti and Mukti, with their folded hands, they stand in front of such devotees with folded hands and willing to offer. But you, a devotee is not interested in accepting these things. So a pure a devotee naturally becomes liberated, but he doesn't want simple liberation without devotional service. While devotional service, while rendering devotional service, he automatically is liberated. But independent liberation without devotional service, he does not want. When someone goes back to spiritual world, he is liberated from this material world, material suffering. But if he is told that you go to Brahman where there is no devotional service, then he is not willing to accept it. But when he is awarded prema, naturally with death he goes to spiritual world, where he is liberated from suffering and he is also rendering service. So out of five types of devotional service, first Sayujya Mukti, that is not acceptable to devotees. Others, they are automatically there. And in fact, not after death, but when someone is engaged in the devotional service of Lord, that moment, till he is engaged in devotional service, he is liberated from, he is in a liberated stage. So, devotee, so when someone is constantly engaged, he is automatically liberated because he is in his constitutional position. In fact, when Prabhupada, in one of programs, he told, all of my disciples are liberated. So devotees were looking at each other, are we liberated? There, but Prabhupada is saying, so one is liberated, but it may take time for him to realize. As long as he is engaged, he is in his constitutional position. He is in his constitutional position. So that stage is liberated platform. He is not under the material energy's control. He is under Antaranga Shakti now. So here the glories of holy name is given, that what happens when someone chants the holy name of Lord. In fact, it is explained previously that someone is taking bath, someone is yawning. We see many old people in villages. While yawning, they chant Krishna's name or Ram or Madhav Kesho. Or while taking bath, or if someone is afraid, then what elderly people tell children? That on this planet, on this plant, there is a ghost. So in the night, if you feel some kind of fear, then you should chant the name of Lord. So if you have to go from here to there in the night because of some unavoidable service, or any time if you feel some fear, you should chant the name of Lord. So these kind of things were incorporated in the culture, so that at least sometimes people will take the name of Lord. But that should not be the only time when someone chants the holy name of Lord while passing from some tree or dark tunnel, another time forget Krishna. So that should not be the only time. One should chant the Krishna's name constantly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, because this material world is constantly, we are always in danger, any moment any danger can come in. And one may die any moment, so one has to chant the holy name constantly so that any time death comes, he is ready to go. One of my neighbor was very hefty fellow and only 50s, reaching his 50s, early, late 40s. And one day he came back from his job, was working in school, and ate something and he told, I will take rest. And he just lied down and he died in sleep only. When somebody went to wake him up, he was dead. His body was cold. So such healthy people appear to be very healthy and very nice. Everything is very nice. But they can die any moment, most unexpected moment. Nobody ever thought, nobody even believed for first 1 hour that he had died. He died. Everybody was surprised. How can he die? He is so healthy and hefty and happy. And he died. So this is how at the most unexpected moment something can happen to a person. Everything is going on very nicely and suddenly misery creeps in. Prabhupada in Mayapur, he was going with Harishori Prabhu and one of his other disciples. And for a few moments Prabhupada felt a little sleepy and he was a little sleeping. And immediately people were, they come across a turn and Harishori Prabhu and other devotees saw a ghastly scene. A person had fallen on the road and over his head a truck has gone. So his brain was completely crushed and everywhere all over the road there was blood. And all the neighboring village people, farmers and farm laborers had gathered around and they were yelling and shouting, and driver had run away as usual. And they were shouting and yelling, so much hue and cry, and Prabhupada and his servants, they were also like loud cry, you know, they also exclaimed. And then Prabhupada woke up and he said, what happened? So Harishri Prabhu told that the scene was so ghastly that the person's brain was completely flattened and everywhere blood and people were weeping and crying like anything. So Prabhupada immediately told, do you think that this material world is a place of danger only when you see this? It's always dangerous. It's not that when we are not seeing, that means there is no danger. It's always a dangerous place. So that's why one has to take shelter of holy name, and that is the safest platform. Then one becomes completely fearless because he has taken shelter of lotus feet of Lord. In fact, there is a pastime of Ramacharya. His brother Govinda had opened the mouth of a cobra and with some pin he was trying to remove a thorn from the tongue of cobra. He said, what you are doing? It's such a dangerous activity. You are holding cobra as if you are gone crazy or what? And he said, no, there is some thorn in the tongue, you know, stuck up in the tongue of that cobra. So that's why this poor fellow is suffering. So I want to relieve it. But devotees are surprised that this compassion can cost you your life. But what difference does it make? If I live, I will take bath in Pushkarini, which is a holy river there. And if I die, I will take bath in Vaitarini, in the spiritual world, in that. It doesn't make any difference. To such extent, he was become fearless because of doing devotional service. That he was catching cobra. Other people may just run away as soon as they see cobra. And he became bold to such an extent that he was holding his mouth and removing thorn very carefully. So devotee became so much fearless. So this is a platform completely fearless. In fact, Gadadhar Das, one of associates of Lord, he would jump in a water where there are a lot of crocodiles and sit on them and slap them and make them tell them that chant Hare Krishna. You can't imagine that, but he became so bold, no fear. He would go and sit on the back of wild tigers and slap them and tell them chant Hare Krishna. So much, it appears very funny, but he was so much fearless that Krishna is there, no one can do anything to me. Complete faith in Lord Krishna. No fear. But if we, like, you know, during our yatra, one mouse ran through all our devotee, and immediately everybody was, you know, there's so much hue and cry, and after some people thought it's snake or something, but everything, again, everybody sat down, and then they come to know there was a mouse. So one mouse runs through us and we become completely, you know, so much hue and cry. But this person is on his own going on, sitting on the back of tiger and slapping him, which we cannot imagine also. So to this extent, a devotee becomes fearless because of completely taking shelter of Lord. His strength is not coming from his own strength, but because of his complete faith in Lord Krishna. So this is how. So someone, it appears that, you know, like proud person also do something like that, very materially bold people and devotee, but devotee is supposed to be humble. So he is humble because he doesn't think himself to be powerful. He knows the power of Krishna, and because of his knowing power of Krishna, that's why that kind of fearlessness comes, not on his own strength. Whereas a karmi, he is depending on his own strength. He thinks that I can do this, I can do that. But devotee, he can do these things because he has taken shelter of Lord Krishna and his lotus feet. So Srila Rupa Goswami explains that so much nectar is there in the holy name that when I chant the holy name, what happens? I feel that I should have millions of mouths. And when I hear this holy name, so much ecstasy I experience that I feel that I should have millions and millions of ears. But we don't feel at this moment like that. Because our chanting is offensive chanting, and there is hardly any feeling involved in our chanting. It's just kind of mechanical because of that. In fact, it is explained in the glorification of holy name that if someone chants the holy name of Lord and tears doesn't come from his eyes, then he should understand his heart is made up of stone or steel. So this is a test that if we chant, then tears should come from our eyes. But what stops us is offenses to the holy name. It doesn't allow us to taste the nectar of holy name. And the nectar from holy name is such that when it enters the mind, what it becomes? It becomes completely agitated. And the senses become inert, stunned. Senses become stunned. And they can't do any of their activity. So to such an extent, the holy name is sweet. And that's why devotee, they simply constantly want to chant the name of Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In fact, once the Amrut Maharaj was asked that what is the key or some success formula to develop this taste for holy name. He said the only success formula is you go on chanting constantly, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So if you chant more and more and more and more, then that will give us taste. taste for holy name, and that taste is that higher taste by which one is able to give up all inferior engagements. In fact, six Goswamis of Vrindavan, if we see their life, a new person, if we describe them what their life was, he will give up devotional service. He said they were sleeping only for 2 hours, only drinking milk, buttermilk once in a 2 day, that also 2 or 3 teaspoons. And their bodies were completely emaciated. And they were offering so many thousands of dandavats. And every day going Govardhan Parikrama. So someone will say, after in perfectional stage, I will have to do all these things. I don't want to do. Drinking, eating so less and not sleeping and offering 2,000 dandavats and body emaciated. And what they gave up whole, their mandalapati, they're like factually like kings, and gave up tyaktva turnam, as if it's like a turna or grass, a blade of grass. They gave up this material opulence to become what? Like this. So externally it appears that they must be suffering like in total poverty, that and so much from bad health and this and that. But internally, they were so much experiencing bliss and ecstasies that for them anything apart from devotional service was a distraction. Even to such an extent that eating was also a distraction. So minimizing everything and completely absorbing themselves in topics of Lord Krishna and holy name. So this is a liberated stage. In fact, in his last days, Prabhupada told Harishwari Prabhu that my eating is factually I have given up eating. Nowadays I don't eat every day, and I can't sleep also, and I gave up mating long back. And I don't defend also. So I think I am liberated now. So he told Harishwari Prabhu that, you know, everything is there. But constantly, even at that time, Prabhupada was engaged in devotional service. He was translating books and giving dictations and instructions to all of his disciples till the fag end of life. So much bliss and nectar one experience through rendering devotional service of Lord, that he does not want anything because of that, because he is actually experiencing this higher taste. Because of having higher taste, and he knows what other taste is so inferior, he does not want, even if Lord is offering it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tested so many of his devotees, and through those tests in Mahaprakash Lila, he glorified his devotees also. And also showed the world that the experience or the taste, ecstasies one experience in devotional service is such that even externally, materially most impoverished person, even if he is offered everything, controllership of the entire universe, still he doesn't want it because of such a higher taste. And that's why they are constantly engaged in devotional service of Lord. Like Ghanashyam Baba and other people also, they didn't want to give up devotional service, even though for body it was impossible thing. Sanatana Goswami, it was impossible, like body. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt pity. Lord Krishna came to his dream and told that, you know, no need for doing parikrama every day. But he was not willing to stop. So much spiritual ecstasies, devotee experience, that he doesn't trade it for anything. That's why there is some pleasure in material, it's explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that there is some happiness in material sense gratification, some droplets. There is, that is Bhavanand, then Brahmanand, there is some anand in Brahman also, little. But what happiness is there in bhakti? That is like ocean, and other is compared to droplets. So one is in ocean, drowning in ocean, then he doesn't want small, small droplets. Even only small child, just like if small child you show him one biscuit and 100 rupee note, he will choose biscuit. But when he was little grown-up child, he will choose 100 rupee note, because he knows that he can get so many biscuits and other confectionaries from these 100 rupee notes. But if very small, his intelligence is not developed, he will only want that biscuit or that confectionery. So someone, when he is developed in his, evolved in his consciousness, he doesn't trade anything for pure devotional service or apart from service. And when they do some service, return what they want is more service. That's the return someone wants after rendering service. In fact, it's an honor that if very great person accepts some service from us. Like if someone is very great person, and if you to be a servant of great person, also we require great qualification. No one can go and do seva to, if it is those who are richest people of India, if you go in front of their house and say that I want to serve, they may not accept us. They say, where is your this qualification, that qualification? But the greatest person, Krishna, he is accepting service from us without seeing our qualification. Whatever we cook, he accepts it. Whatever we offer, he accepts it. That is his greatness. Similarly, Krishna is the greatest personality who is accepting service and giving service. That itself is a favor. That itself is a reward in itself. There is no other reward apart from devotional service. So at this moment, our situation is like a kind of a theoretical person. When we hear the description that so much sweetness is there, but we may be experiencing some small droplets, but not full extent. So our situation is just theoretical. Once I was traveling before coming to Krishna consciousness, and that bus stop in a village place, and one village lady and 2 children boarded the bus, and they were so much weeping and crying so loudly that entire bus, nobody was talking with anybody. Because if I speak, other person cannot hear. It was so loud, and they were weeping and crying, and it was going on and on and on. So it was going on for more than 20-30 kilometers, more than half hour. And so loudly, people thought that, you know, they will get exhausted and they will stop. But they had tireless stamina, going on and on and on. And it was genuinely, they were crying so much. And they have their language, so nobody could understand also their that language. In the beginning, people thought that it's some nuisance. So everybody is just, it's total nuisance to their journey. After some time, they just kept quiet. And while they were going down, they were little pacified. They told conductor, we want to get down. That time conductor asked him, what happened? Why are you crying so much? So lady said that her husband died because of some electric shock somewhere. And they got the news and they got down. And that's everybody came to know. So even though everybody was sympathetic toward that family, that they lost their loved one or their family member, everybody was sympathetic. Nobody was joking or cracking jokes. But people were not experiencing the same pain what the family members were experiencing. Because of that relationship and that attachment, what pain they were experiencing, what feelings they could experience, others couldn't experience. We had simply theoretical thing that, oh, they lost one of their family member, that's why they are weeping. So similarly, when devotees of Lord are crying from in separation from Krishna, when we hear that, We only have theoretical some kind of thing, understanding, oh, some like co-passengers. But who has actually, you know, is in separation from Lord Krishna, what he is experiencing, we do not have access to it. It's only by the mercy of Lord we'll able to experience that ecstasy. Like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his associates that I am going to South India Yatra, so many people felt unconscious just by hearing that. Gadadhar Pandit on the border of Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you go back, and he felt unconscious immediately. So much pain, because so much feelings are there associated with Lord. And what the description of gopis and Shunyaitam Jagat Sarvam. This Shunyaitam Jagat Sarvam or Yugaitam Nimishena, the one moment of separation for one yuga. This is all hypothetical or kind of theoretical for us at this stage. Only when we come to that and Krishna gives us that experience of ecstasy in separation and as well as meeting, then we can understand what we were talking about up till now. In fact, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was returning from Bangladesh, from his Bangladesh Yatra, that time one of devotee met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Till that time he was kind of a scholar, and people were very happy that such a great well-known scholar is coming to their villages. So on his to and fro, all the villagers were taking advantage of his journey and asking him scholarly thing. But there was one devotee who met him, and he didn't ask all these mundane scholarly things from Lord Gauranga, but he asked about devotional service. And he asked him one question, that scriptures explain so much glorification of holy name, sometimes it appears to be exaggeration because we don't see all these results. Like if someone chants holy name of Lord once, tears come from his eyes and he is standing on end and trembling, and he is immediately liberated. All these things we don't see many such, it sometimes appear to be little exaggeration. How is it that about holy name? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that it's not exaggeration. All this glorification of holy name of Lord is not exaggeration. But according to the faith, development of the faith of the chanter, when he's chanting the holy name, as much as the faith, to that extent the holy name reciprocates and reveals himself to him. So because depending upon the level of the person who is chanting, the holy name reciprocates according to that, and he gets revelations according to that faith. So it's not the defect in scriptures or nor its exaggeration just to induce people to take the chanting. These are not the exaggerations given in scriptures, but it's actual fact. Krishna is his holy name and is non-different. So just like if someone hears this, that if you chant the holy name of Lord once, then you can be free from so much sin that a jiva cannot commit in eternity. So it appeared completely logical that how can one chanting be like that? But Krishna is unlimited and his purifying potency is unlimited. Whereas Jivatma is limited and his capacity to commit sin is also limited. Jiva is limited and his capacity to commit sin is limited. And Krishna is unlimited and his purifying potency is unlimited. So just one chanting of the name can purify the sin which has been committed through eternity. So this is how the holy name has so much power. In fact, Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains that in bhava stage, the holy name can show his eternal relationship with Krishna. What is his relationship? And also Bhakti Siddhanta Sir Thakur explained in Brahma Samhita that sixth Gayatri Mantra, which is actually holy name only of Lord Krishna, those who are initiated, they know. If you chant in different combination, you can see different pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Just like TV, we just switch on different modes, different channels, and we see different thing. So different Radha Krishna pastime we can see, and just by changing the syllables. That is the power of this mantra. So, but what exactly stops us is the offenses to the holy name, to different offenses to holy name, to deity, devotee, and laxity in not serious in devotional service. That becomes a big obstacle, and it can stop us. In fact, when Vibhishan, when Lord Ramchandra became victorious, he came back to Ayodhya. So Lord Ramchandra, along with all monkeys, Hanumanji, everybody, they came back to Ayodhya. So that time Vibhishan also came to attend the coronation of Lord Ramchandra as the king of Ayodhya. So some associate demons of Vibhishan also came to Ayodhya. And when they came to Ayodhya, that time coronation ceremony was over. And Vibhishan was wanting to stay for more time. So other demons wanted to return to Lanka, Sri Lanka. So they asked Vibhishan that how can we, you know, go back to Sri Lanka? Because there is ocean and that bridge is dismantled now. The bridge is dismantled, and how we can go back? So Vibhishan immediately took a leaf, banyan leaf, and on it he wrote the name of Lord Ram. And he rolled it and tied it in a cloth and gave it to him. He said, you keep it with you and just walk. Ocean will give you path. So all the demons, they thought, oh, some mystic power, something is there. So they were crossing, and surprisingly, as soon as they stepped, the ocean was only knee-deep. They were walking. They came in the middle, and they were surprised that ocean is knee-deep only. They were smiling at each other. This is a miracle we are experiencing. And then suddenly some doubt came in their mind that let us check what exactly it is there in this, in this cloth, what exactly is there. So they opened it and they saw one leaf, and it was written on it was name of Lord Ram. So immediately they thought, how can this holy name, you know, can make it? So till they had faith that something is there in the words, at least in the words of Vibhishan, they were crossing. But then they had no faith in holy name of Lord that, you know, it can't carry us. Immediately everybody drawn and died. So this is how the same people were crossing the ocean, but the same people died, drowned and died, because they had no faith in the holy name of Lord. So we have to have complete faith in the holy name of Lord, and with that faith we chant. In fact, it is explained that even if Krishna tells to a devotee that you have no hope of getting Krishna prema or getting delivered, still a devotee should go on continuing rendering devotional service and chanting the holy name of Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Even if Krishna himself tells that your case is so bad that it's completely hopeless, still we should go on continuing, engaging in service of Lord and taking shelter of the holy name. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the 11th offense, that is the second part of 10th offense, that is to chant inattentively, that is the source of all other offenses. When someone chants inattentively, then all offenses creep in. And Jiva Goswami also in Bhakti Sandarbha explains that when someone chants inattentively, what happens? All kind of weeds grow up in his heart. His heart become hard, hard-hearted. Then he becomes casual in his devotional service. He is not serious. Then desire for material success increases. Then desire for material wealth and association of opposite sex and material prestige increases. And when it becomes, then one becomes careless, and eventually he has to commit some offense to devotees. It cannot be that one becomes hard-hearted and pride also arises, and eventually he has to commit offenses to a devotee. And these offenses pile up, and then a person crumbles down. In fact, there was one lady, they were living in desert, so they wanted to shift their house to another place. So they brought one camel, and on the back of the camel they started putting all their luggage. Everything they are putting. So much luggage they are putting. And they had actually kept the whole their hut, dismantled and kept it on the back of a camel. And some straws were lying. So that lady thought, oh, that straw I can feed to camel, so let me take all that also. So she took that straw and put it on the back of camel, and immediately camel collapsed. And she said, my God, this camel is so weak that one straw, he cannot tolerate one straw, one grass straw. So everybody was laughing at that lady, you know, that this is not the last straw which made it crumble. It was all the luggage previously you kept it on the back of camel that made it, that one straw was sufficient to make it collapse. So similarly, offenses pile up, and then one small offense and he bloops from bhakti. And then said, what? Such a small offense Krishna made him go away. Sometimes we may criticize Krishna also that, you know, he cannot tolerate small offenses. But before that he has piled up so much that, so that's why there is a saying in English, last straw on camel's back. So this is how offenses may pile up, and we may not taste also during our execution of devotional service, and eventually give up Krishna consciousness. In fact, one of Prabhupada's disciples, he met Srila Prabhupada, and he was sannyas a few months before he had taken sannyas, and Prabhupada came to Laguna Beach, and he also came to meet Prabhupada. And that time he was wearing jeans and t-shirt and had a grown beard as well as hairs. And Prabhupada said, what? I gave you sannyas few months before and you are like this? So what was his answer? His answer was, now I feel more free. So much restrictions were there inside upon me. Now I feel very much free. So Prabhupada immediately asked him, are you free from becoming old? Can you stop your old age? Are you free from that? Are you free from diseases? Are you free from death? Can you stop your death? So from what you are free? You are free only to suffer more. Prabhupada, out of compassion, was trying to preach to him and convince him to return back to devotional service. But what he was telling Prabhupada, opposite, misuse of philosophy. He was telling, oh Prabhupada, soul never suffers. Soul is eternal. This old age and death and diseases are not on soul. So he was using this philosophy to convince Prabhupada that I don't need to execute devotional service. And Prabhupada felt compassion for this disciple. And Prabhupada cried also, but he was completely gone into Maya. So, to this extent, when material energy covers the consciousness of living entity, he may know the whole philosophy, but he can't take up to the chanting of the holy name. nor he can take up to engaging in devotional service of Lord. He may know the whole philosophy, but in spite of knowing this, he cannot do it. So, remedy for majority of the offenses, all offenses, in fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that remedy for all offenses is sincere repentance, genuine and sincere repentance, that I wish that I never had committed these offenses. So this, the genuine repentance and then service, begging of forgiveness and rendering service, these are the remedies given to rectify these offenses. So chanting the holy name attentively, and Jivdaya Namiruchi Vaishnava Seva, these three things constantly if we do and avoid offenses, then we can experiencing what is explained about this higher taste in about holy name in books. Then we can experience it. When Krishna will be pleased, he will award us that taste and we can experience it. Then the theoretical thing become a reality for us. So we'll stop here. Is there any question, something? So stop here. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.